Hello and welcome back to another episode of For the Love of a Franchise. I am your host, P-Dubs, and we are here to talk about the penultimate film in the original Planet of the Apes franchise, Conquest of the Planet of the Apes. And joining me, as always, is Tony.
Oh.
Thought we'd lost you there for a minute. Yeah. All good. This is weird. We're recording on a Saturday night. We just said we don't normally do this, but I'm away for the next couple of days. It's the first bank holiday weekend in May. I'm away for a couple of days. So we got it done. You watched it on a Friday night. I watched it Saturday morning, which is normal for me. I normally watch a film on a Saturday morning anyway, because I'm in the house on my own. So it didn't make much difference to me to get it watched this morning. But yeah, it feels a little bit strange and a little bit earlier than normal as well, of the evening. So but
they rack up though, and we do three different podcasts. They started to rack up and the weekend run out.
So. Yeah. And what's nice is this is the first weekend of the month. So we're getting it knocked out of the park this time. So as I said, we are here to talk about Conquest of the Planet of the Apes, which is the penultimate film in the original franchise. So it was, as I said previously, these run pretty much every year for about 6 years. This was the 1972 one, so obviously the last one is 1973. It does see the return of a couple of previous stars. Roddy McDowall returns as a different character. He returns as the son that we met in the previous film, which I kind of alluded to, despite the fact that I'd never seen him. I assumed that's what was happening in the previous film, that this would turn out to be Caesar, who obviously is the lead character in the kind of the reboot from Fox a few years back, which continues this week.
And Hannu's legacy and shadow stands over that film, even though it's 300 years later, apparently. So
And obviously we see the return of Ricardo Montalban as well, who obviously we talked about was a slightly different character than what we expected. It does look more like Khan in this film, though. He very much is taking on that look by this point. So, as I said, it's 1972. We'll dive into the film. So, I thought it had a really creepy opening with all the different types.
We see this sort of little. Well, we have a couple of montages. We see this credit sequence of them, all the different ones wandering around, and it's creepy. The fact because I jot it down. It's always interesting. It's always a bit creepy and a bit weird when you see our past in other films' futures.
Yeah.
Because it's set in 1991, of course, so it's like 19 years after the previous one, I think.
Yeah.
And because the other thing I picked up is how it feels a little bit more militaristic. So throughout the film, you're kind of wondering, what happened in those 20 years? Because it feels a little bit more like a dictatorship, doesn't it, in this film?
Yeah, that was one of my notes. While it's kind of present day for us, obviously it's 30 odd years, but it's still is kind of fresh for us because it's not that long ago. It also has a very weird futuristic feel to it.
Which
is obviously we see a lot with like 60s and 70s take on the future.
A few of them have done that sort of slightly militaristic future, haven't they, where they think the world will be a bit more of a dictatorship kind of a feel.
Even the look of it is kind of what you'd expect. I always equate it to Tomorrowland at Disneyland.
Yeah.
Walt always said this was his future. And it's like you look at it now and you go, no, it's not.
Because I jotted down wherever they shot it. Hello?
Hey, you still there?
Yeah. You're breaking up a bit of me. I was saying, yes, it was the buildings where they shot it, that supermarket mall. There was just such a great find.
It's very, very strange. And that those opening sequence of kind of the apes coming out of the darkness and them all kind of coming together is very creepy.
Yeah.
And of course, because they're background apes, they all look the same as well.
Yeah, so I did spot one of, we said one or two of the fixed masks again reappeared in this one.
Yeah. Yeah, and that's something I want to say. I thought the masks of the leads were better this time.
Yeah.
They did, the masks didn't move with their faces.
The masks looked a bit better in this one as well, even though the fixed ones.
Yeah.
They're a bit more, especially the chimpanzees looked a lot better in this one.
Yeah. Last time we talked about it where the foreheads were kind of moving as they were talking and not sitting where they should be. This time that didn't happen. And I did want to say there's definitely something more savage to this film.
Absolutely, yeah. Because, I mean, I don't know if people are aware. I mean, I watched this on Blu-ray, and there's two versions on there. The standard release version, and I watched the sort of the slightly extended version. It's not a lot, but it's the back end of the film, that climax, is a lot more gory.
Yeah.
In the extended version, there's blood everywhere.
Yeah, I watched on Disney Plus, so you can take that as you want, but there isn't, and I'm still saying it's quite savage.
Yes, yeah. It's throughout the film. It's quite oppressive, and I think that falls back into what I said about this sort of slightly Nazi Germany kind of a feel to it, and this sort of secret and Russia, the secret police element, and
yeah, definitely. And there's that scene when they first take Caesar in.
Yeah, well, yeah. There's that scene where Caesar first speaks.
Yeah,
and all the crowd also he can speak, you know, and they all suddenly turn on them in an instant.
Yeah. And then, as I say, there's that scene when they take Caesar in and there's all the different, like, experiments they're doing on apes and, like, torturing them. And the one that gets me is the banana makes a comeback.
Yes.
And they're trying to... The apes are trying to dodge the lasers to grab the banana.
Yes.
It's like, right, okay. But then the only mask that I did pick out is that the orangutans kind of look like Harry and the Hendersons.
There was something a bit off on them, wasn't it? When you go back and compare them to the likes of Zaius in the first couple of films, they're very, very strange compared to that. I'd agree with that. The orangutans,
but the rest of them are much better. And I do have to say, this film is more what I expect from Planet of the Apes than the last two. But the last three, really. The first one was what I expect of Planet of the Apes. And then this one was more that the apes were kind of taking over.
It's all the setup for the future history that we know is going to happen at some point.
Yeah, very much so.
So I think I did like the because there's only two or three real big human characters, and they are quite interesting as well. I thought that the sort of the conflict between the governor and MacDonald as well.
Yeah, MacDonald was a real standout character because you can kind of see that he didn't want to be doing what he was doing.
Yeah,
but didn't really have a choice.
With him being a black man as well, of course, and even he is uncomfortable come the end of the film with the way that it's gone completely bloody. But even then, we see early on that he's a little bit more liberal in his thinking than the rest of them.
Yeah, definitely. And especially that we also get a returning character that we kind of already have a connection with. Is quite nice because that's kind of what was missing in that last film.
Yeah.
That there was no other than the chimps. Armando. Yeah.
Yeah. The Armando stuff is quite brutal as well, basically torturing him as well.
Yeah. Yeah. They pretty much put him through the same thing. That they put Caesar through.
Yeah. There's a little bit more mind games, isn't there, to what they do. There's a lot more than just pure mental torture with Armando and sort of
Trying
to catch him out. But the torture scene later on are absolutely savage.
Yeah.
And it's only a few seconds when they put Caesar on that table, but man alive. Roger
Yeah.
McDowell just sells it so well.
Yeah, he's obviously he's a much more important character in this one. It does make you think, did they always plan to do more than what they did, and it just didn't come to fruition? Because it seems like it is set in something bigger up.
Yeah, well, because when you'll see when we do the next one next month, it's a complete left turn again to the final one. Because
yeah.
this one really, in that speech at the end, basically sets up everything that we know is going to happen. And you kind of left wanting to see a bit more of that.
Yeah. Yeah, very.
I always wanted to see a film with, at some, what point in the Earth's future did the Holocaust happen, the nuclear Holocaust? Was it a few years down the line, or was it a couple of hundred years down the line?
Yeah. Yeah, definitely. And it does, it really does set him up as the leader right from the word go in this film.
Yeah, that scene where it's where after Armando gets killed, where he starts having those meetings in that cellar, and he's doing all the little notes for the ammunition requisitions and stuff like that. And he's basically just straight at the forefront, isn't he, of leading this sort of order of rebellion.
Yeah, very much so. We also get chimp sexy time in this film.
I'm laughing because I've written exactly the same phrase on the page.
That shows you we've been discussing this week. We've been friends. It's 21 years now since we first met. It'll be 21 years in November.
And we do sort of tune into the same thing sometimes.
Yeah, very much so. It's unbelievable sometimes.
But again, it's the way he sells it, because there's a bit of a wry smile on his face, isn't there? You say,
yeah.
All right,
as soon as he sees her and he's like, oh.
Okay, then.
Yeah. Clearly my mum and dad did it, so why can't I?
Because just before that, we've seen some more baby chimps again as well.
Yeah, we do. And this is where that note of mine came up, that there's definitely more of a sci-fi element to this film, despite it being less futuristic Earth than what we saw at the start. And in the first film, it's very, very strange that it feels like that.
For me, it was actually, my one issue with the film is I could have done with another 15, 20 minutes just to get some background on how the current Earth had got to that stage.
Yeah, definitely. It's interesting because it kind of doesn't tell you it, but it's weird, isn't it? Because it kind of does look like what the UK became in the 80s a little bit.
Well, especially in terms of like troubles and the strikes and stuff like that as well, and the unrest on the streets, and riots everywhere.
And then we kind of get into the crux of them trying to get rid of Caesar, because they can see what's happening. But doesn't work, does it?
No, and it's interesting, as I've written down there, how basically humanity's fate is sealed by a man falling out the window, because it's at that point where Armando gets killed. It's basically the beginning of the end for humanity.
Yeah, and it's interesting because it's the second film that's kind of triggered that, isn't it? So the previous film does the same.
Yeah,
where we see the apes die and the people that were looking after them. Die, and that kind of triggers what happens with Caesar. And then it happens again at the end of this film, that a human dying is actually going to cause the major problems for humanity.
So you got the tragic death of Armando and the kind of justice death of the governor at the end. And again, that's a shock, because they don't show it, but the violence is so well implied in that, with those close-ups on all the apes just bashing in with the weapons at the end.
Yeah, and that's
not much left.
That was what I wrote. It's really in your face and visceral.
Yeah. I mean,
And I think that's kind of helped because it, again, it kind of lines up with what we saw at the beginning of the film, kind of the apes coming from the darkness.
Yeah.
Because it's kind of in spotlights, the violence.
Those public service announcements for the police are like illegal gathering in sects or whatever. And it's like one or two apes.
Yeah.
Maybe. And then the
one at the beginning when she's asleep.
Yeah. Yeah.
Because she's had to do so much.
Yeah. And you compare that then with later on in the film when you've got hordes of them in the streets. It's a sort of nice juxtaposition.
Yeah. Yeah, very much so. And you have to say that this Caesar is very similar to the one that's in the more modern trilogy by this point. He's an absolute beast by this point.
Yeah, well, it's funny. I jotted down is that Rise of the Planet of the Apes from the reboot, the Anna Circus reboot. It does feel like because it certainly borrows elements from this, doesn't it? It's sort of the bit about, I know it's with animals instead. Of course, we've had a species wiped out.
Yeah,
so to humans, we've had the rising through Caesar, which we had in that first film. So this is very influential, I think, on that reboot. This out of all the films from that of this franchise.
Yeah, definitely. It definitely kind of feels like it picks up from this film.
Yeah. You see that the two Caesars very much they're set in parallel universes, right next to each other almost.
Yeah. And that was my point. I kind of start to wrap it up. It's a real shame that there's only one film left in this series, because it feels like there was so much more to give.
Yeah, yeah. The way the ending of it, he gives that speech, and it's just him stood there in that sort of triumphant, sort of emperor-like sort of figure at the end of the film, and you're thinking, oh, I want more of this.
Yeah, considering it's called The Planet of the Apes,
yeah,
we really only see that planet in the first two films.
And we only ever see a bit of the planet, because it's the fact that he says in his speech, he talks about on five continents tomorrow, there'll be sort of uprisings effectively. So, you want to see a couple of scenes of that?
Yeah. Yeah, definitely. That was kind of all of my notes. Is there anything else you want to add before we wrap up?
No, I think just the one, because I've not seen for a couple of years. I'm just surprised again. How visceral! This is certainly the most visceral one of the ones we've had, I think.
Yeah.
Even you get like one or two shocks from the first film of the sort of the one being lobotomized and the one being stuffed, but nothing of those compares to the sort of violence in this film.
No.
And just that explosion of rage and hatred from the apes in the back last act of the film. The one other thing I did pick up on is that it's interesting, and it does follow through to the newer films. Is one of the core elements of all of these films is that, and we talked about McDonald in this case, that Caesar or whichever one in the lineage, that friendship between a human and an ape, of one ape and one human, is a nice constant across the films that we've had and into the newer films as well.
Yeah.
Because in the newer films, you had James, what was his surname in Rise?
Yeah.
You know what I mean?
Yeah, I do.
And then you had John Connor in the second one.
yeah. Obviously, I'd forgotten that.
The names have all gone. I'm having one of those live record moments.
Yeah. People will know. Especially, that's a shout out to Craig.
Jason Clark.
Yeah.
Yeah, Jason.
Craig from our other shows. Has been following along with us, and he's moved on because he wanted to see the new film, so he's gone on to the new trilogy, and skipped ahead of us. He's a few films ahead of us.
And even the trailers for the new one looks like that there's a relationship between him and a young woman.
Yeah,
so there's this core theme throughout the films of the lead ape having a connection with a human, which I think has been quite an interesting sort of follow through on each of these films.
Yeah, definitely. And there's been a few, obviously. The last one was there's been a couple of very strange installments in this franchise. We've had a religious one, we've had a 1970s soap opera version.
And we've got a 20-minute feature version in this one.
I mean, yeah. But yeah, for me, I feel like this was a step back in the right direction.
Yeah, well, it is probably my favorite of the sequels for the reasons we've discussed. It's just, and I said my only gripe would be they could do with about another 10 or 15 minutes of it.
Yeah, yeah, definitely. There's still gaps to fill in.
It was only about like 93 minutes or 4 minutes. Or
yeah,
something like that.
It was very quick. So I watched it before anybody else got up this morning. And I started watching about 6:15 this morning. Mm. And my little one got up at just after 7. And I hadn't even realised how long I'd been sitting there watching it. But I went to they went out afterwards at about 10 o'clock. And I turned it on to finish it. And it was like, there's only 16 minutes left. And I was like, oh.
Yeah. And to me, that's the mark of a quality film, is that if it leaves you just wanting, just not a lot more, just that little bit more, just to fill in one or two bits and pieces. But yeah, on that point, I think for me, it probably is my favourite of the sequels and the best of the sequels, which will be backed up by the last one that we do. I think I say that the guy who plays McDonald's interesting, and Don, names are all blank me out. Plays the governor. He's a little bit cliche, but it's fun. It's fun to see somebody just being, and his speech that he gives to Caesar about where the hatred comes from is really good and really shocking.
Yeah,
because we see the worst of you in us, and it's quite brutal. To say as an excuse for why humans are like they are, and to me, no, I think it's just a great. And it's almost like the marker for what a third or fourth film in a franchise ought to be.
Yeah.
They tend to all go downhill a bit, but this one suddenly spikes again.
Yeah. And I do wonder whether that comes from the fact that they did kind of go off course.
Mm. Yeah.
With a couple of the other ones. And then this comes back to where the story... Most people, if you talk about Planet of the Apes, you talk about this kind of conflict.
Yes.
Which was kind of missing from the last one. Obviously, we get that whole segment at the end of the previous film. But for the most part, there's not a lot of that.
No.
In the last one. And this kind of takes you back to where people, if you go Planet of the Apes, they think about this conflict between humans and monkeys. And that's where this one is. It sits right smack bang in the middle of that.
Yeah, no, absolutely. I enjoy rewatching. It's one of those where if I was going to just watch a couple, I'd watch the first one and then this one, and they make a perfect sort of duo.
Yeah.
To just watch. On that basis, I'm going to have to score this quite well. I think it's definitely, I'm going to go something about 86 maybe, because I really like it as a film.
Yeah. Yeah, I agree. I was going to give it 85.
There you go.
So as I said, I thoroughly enjoyed it. I lost myself in it. I didn't realize how long it was going. It's exactly what I expect from a Planet of the Apes film. Despite it not being that, everybody's got that vision of that first film.
Yeah,
everybody knows Planet of the Apes because of how it ends.
Yeah,
and how it looks.
This is the first film that basically sets up that ending of the first film, really.
Yeah, and really, everything after those first two films are prequels, which is very strange to think about back then, because people talk about prequels being a whole new thing, and they're not.
They're sequels, but that are prequels because of the timeline, yeah.
Yeah. So it really is interesting that it kind of sits within what I expect of these films. Really, really enjoyed it. I'm glad we got to it. It's definitely, as you said, the pick of the best pick of the bunch of the sequels. So that leaves us with one last film next month. Battle for the Planet of the Apes is the finale. We're not going to, unfortunately, Craig was disappointed. We aren't going to be doing the new ones. That was never the intention. It was always to look at these original ones.
As very much probably what my next pick will be. It's a bit of a clue. It's probably will be a trilogy within a series of films. So there's a nice clue for you there.
Right. Yep, and we'll find out next month.
Yeah.
After our final film. So thank you very much, Tony.
No worries.
And thank you, listeners, as always. Thank you for joining us on this ride through the Planet of the Apes franchise. We'll be back next month for our final film, Battle for the Planet of the Apes. Hopefully you'll join us, and we'll see you in June. Bloody hell, halfway through the year, for our thoughts on that film. So thank you very much, everybody, and we'll see you somewhere down the road.